Today, I've been led by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, Hebrew chapter 10, where we will spend most of our time just going through all the verses and unpacking what the Lord is saying to us. But I think this chapter resonates with what we are standing for today. So I want to open with reading Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with sincere heart in full assurance of faith. In this passage, we see that Jesus Christ has laid down his life, sacrificed his flesh, and poured out his blood so we can have access to draw near the presence of the Lord. And this is the biggest heroic act that ever been done for the humanity. And Jesus is the hero of faith that we want to remember and commemorate today. And I think that all men and women who are sacrificing their life for others are following the example of Jesus Christ. Because by his blood and through the sacrifice of his flesh, today we have unlimited access to the throne of God, to the presence of the Lord. And we're adopted into his family, and we're granted with the freedom. So as you look through this scripture, we need to understand some context of Hebrews. If we read from chapter 1 to chapter 4, we see that God's ultimate desire for us is to enter his rest. From day 1, he created us to dwell in his presence, to dwell in his rest, to enjoy the freedom that we have in God. And God's promise of rest is the full assurance that this is what his desire for us. He wants to remind us through a week and saying that the seventh day is the day of rest. He wants us to remember that there is a promised land that we want to enter. And that's what was his ultimate desire. Jesus is the one who is first to enter that rest through the sacrifice that he performed for us. And therefore, we have unlimited access to that. He tore the veil so we can have an opportunity to be in the presence of God. And this is his desire for everyone, to enjoy a rest and be in his presence. As the high priest who comes not out of the lineage of the sons of Levites, but from the tribe of Judah, Jesus is a new priest who established a new covenant with the new promises that gives us a better deal than we ever had before. That's what the book of Hebrews unpacks from chapter 6 to chapter 9. And now, we as a participant of a new covenant, entering the chapter 10, understanding that we have new promise with new deal and new future. Hebrews chapter 10 has a special part in my heart. First, it unpacks the problem. If we look together in verse 17, the author speaks about our natural state, the reality of who we are. Verse 17 says, and they sins and they lawless deeds. I'm sinful. My lawless deeds are plenty. This is who I am before Jesus. This is my nature. This is the real state. This is the problem. Then it continues in verse 22. Part B, second part of the verse, it says, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. By default, my conscience is evil, as well as everything that I do. That's why I have so many sins. Verse 26 says, "For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, the human nature desires to sin and does sin willfully." This is who we are by default. This is the problem. And Jesus came on earth to deal with this problem. There was old solution, and the author presents that old solution here. From verse 1 to verse 8, it all talks about the old priest and the old priest who would sacrifice animals again and again, year after year, to cleanse us from our sins just for another year. And it was never enough. With this old solution, he was not able to make us perfect. He was not able to make us pure. He was not able to make us clean. And we would go a cycle, a year after year, remember that we have evil conscience, remember that we have sinful nature, and we're willingly to sin, and all solution did not help. And then we see a new solution comes. New solution comes with a new priest who brings a sacrifice not of animals, but of his personal life, who kills not the animal, but allows sinful people to kill himself. So through his sacrifice, we have a new solution. We have a new way of entering into the kingdom of God. And with this, we have a new hope, new confidence, new faith, and new access into the living relationships with our God. But there is one an interesting point that the author of Hebrew wants to bring our attention to. It talks about the desire of God. Our God has a heart, and his heart full of desires. And here he unpacks what exactly he desires. So if you look with me in verse 5 and 6 and 8, you will see that he talks about desires of God. Starting from verse 5, "Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, 'Sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you have taken no pleasure. Then I say, behold, I have come to do your will, O God.'" After saying above, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in, which are offered according to the law, then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He taken away the first in order to establish the second. He repeats the same idea twice, which for people like me, the repetition is important. Because I don't know how about you, but I rarely get things from the first time. And if you don't believe me, ask my wife, because she will confirm that. Every time she sends me to the grocery store, she texts me what I should buy, and then she gives me a grocery list, and then I come back home and I forget something. Therefore, she calls me as I am in the grocery store to double check that I got everything. I have a problem of paying attention. So author repeats here twice. He says, our God has desires. He has something that makes pleasure to him. And we as humans think that this is sacrifice and offerings, multiple of them, all kinds of offerings. But he says, no. This is not what I desire. I don't desire performance. I don't desire duties. I don't desire checklists. I don't desire any actions that just comes out of your religion. What I actually desire is for you to do my will. And Jesus knew exactly what the will of the Father. He came on earth not to do his own will, not to say his own things, not to meet his own friends, not to keep his schedule busy with his own activities. He knew exactly what his Father wants. And that's why Jesus was able to please the heart of the Father. And he acted according to his desires. Every morning, Jesus would allow his Father to wake him up so they can spend time together and he can get as close to the heart of his Father to know that today he needs to meet Zacchaeus in Jericho, a Samaritan woman at the well. And he knew exactly what he needs to tell them, what he needs to do when he's in the house, because that was the will of the Father. And that made his Father so pleasant, so happy. Now Jesus does the same. If we look now at the end of chapter 10, we will be surprised to find exactly the same, but now in the words of Jesus. I want us to start with verse 35. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet, in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. If he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we're not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the persevering of the soul. Look again, part B of verse 38. But if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. If we reverse in the positive, we would say the soul of Jesus has pleasure when we push forward. When we move forward. When we persevere in the will of God. The negative of this, we rob Jesus from pleasure and we don't follow the desire of his soul if we shrink back, if we pull back, if we drift away from the will of Jesus. And we know, those that we're celebrating and remembering today, that if they did not push forward, if they shrink back, we would not enjoy the freedom that we enjoy today. There is a promised land that God has established for all of us. And his desire and pleasure that we discover what is the will of God for us today, and we persevere in accomplishing that will of God to the point that we're not shrinking back. We're pushing forward to make Jesus happy by accomplishing the will of God. The will of God is not always easy. It's not always simple. That's why the Hebrew chapter 11, 12, and 13 talks about endurance, about discipline, about perseverance. The will of the Father for Jesus was not simple. It was so hard that he would ask, Would you let this cup pass me? I'm not sure I can handle that. But if not, give me strength to make another step. It was so hard to accomplish the will of God, but he was willing to make one step at a time so he can please the heart of the Father. Today, as we have the highest priest with a new covenant who purified my heart and my conscience from the sin, I have access to the throne of the Father, not to ask for my earthly things to make a pleasure for myself, but to ask the Lord, what will make you happy. Many times I find that my prayer is not, your kingdom come, your will be done. My prayer is, this is my will for you, Father, today. Protect my family, bless my job, take care of this, solve this issue. And it feels like I'm giving the big to-do list to Jesus in the morning when I pray to Him. And in the evening, I go back and I say, thank you for keeping me safe on the road, although those crazy drivers on Highway 45. Thank you for keeping my children in good conditions. Thank you for doing this. Oh, and there's two things that has not been done yet, Jesus. I hope you get back to them first thing in the morning. But I don't think that's the point of Jesus' sacrifice. He did not open the access to the throne of Father so we can bring our to-do list to Father, but so we can discover what is on the heart of God today. What makes Him sad? What will make Him happy? And how can I accomplish that? Jesus knew that Father did not need offerings and sacrifices, but He wanted Jesus to accomplish His will. So my daily desire today is to discover what is the will of my Father for me today, and how I can follow this so He can be happy. As it was mentioned, I flew back last night from Ukraine, from Kyiv, together with my friend and pastor, Sergei Moskovka, who is pastor of church in Kyiv. As we literally were driving out of Kyiv, the rockets and the missiles and drones were flying toward Kyiv. And as you've probably seen on the news yesterday and day before, a lot of destruction, many new attacks, 15 other people unfortunately dead. And Brenda was like, I didn't know you're going to Ukraine when you said yes to come and preach in the morning. Otherwise, we would schedule something different. I didn't know that either. It was not on my schedule. It was not something I was planning because I need to travel again this Tuesday early in the morning. So I'm home back for 2 days. But it was the will of the Father. Because a month ago, we received a special invitation from the President's Office of Ukraine for the State Department of Youth and Sport to come and speak at the Forum of Innovation of Sports in the Context of War. And as I was praying before the Lord, as I was entering the throne of God, I realized that this is the place where God wants me to be in this time. And obviously, it's not a fun destination to go. I would rather Jesus send me to Bahamas or some other Caribbean island for mission work to accomplish, preferably with all-inclusive package and five-star resorts. I would be gladly there to serve the mission of the Lord. But coming together with the Lord, with my wife in prayer, she understood that being in Kyiv, in Ukraine, at this time, anything could happen. But the safest place to be is in the middle of God's will. And we said yes. We flew in. The day we arrived, it was the largest in the last year drone attack on Kyiv, 281 drones in one night that flew to bomb Kyiv. But for all 5 days, as I was there with another friend of mine, there was no attacks. On the way out, again. And it was obvious that the Lord has been preparing and protecting and guiding and just surrounding the whole country, knowing that I'm carrying the will of God in the country, and he wants that to be undestructive. And as I was coming in, I had no idea what God has prepared. We're just following his will one step at a time. And the State Department of Youth and Sport invited us to present the holistic approach through sport when we can restore and reintegrate lives back into normal by training body, mind, and spirit in the same process. We didn't learn that from ourselves. It was not our new idea. But we understand that the best book on health and fitness comes from the scripture. Bible is the best book on health and fitness. So when we read it, we realized that God wants to train holistically through sports and fitness to engage our body and mind and spirit for a full restoration. And they got super excited about this program. The State Department on Education officially recognized the curriculum and training now for all coaches and fitness instructors in the country. But they also realized that this is the program that everybody needs in such difficult circumstances. As we were there last week, we met with the State Department of Veterans Affairs. And they disclosed to us that there are today, if the war stops today, there are 112,000 people with amputations. 112,000 of people with amputations. If the war starts today, 1.8 million veterans will come back home. We talk about 2 million people who will care physical, mental, psychological, spiritual, and emotional traumas. 2 million people. And if every one of them impacts at least 4 members of their family, parents, spouses, children, it is 10 million people at high risk in a country that is now less than 30 million population. Over 30% of people in a category of pain. And as we were walking from place to place, as the state officials were taking us to different veterans group, to people with amputations, to first responders, I felt the pain of God. I felt the will of God for us as a church here to stand up with those who are wounded. Not to get into the political debates and conversations, who does what, and who is wrong, and who is right, and what's the level of corruption, and how people are perceiving all the political games that are happening, but getting down on the level of real people with real pain and with real need. And on an official level, they ask us to come with this program and provide rehabilitation for body, mind, and spirit to all 112,000 people with amputees and almost 2 million veterans. We put together a program that we call Restore Warrior. It's a 12-week program. We put together this with people who love Jesus, who love sport. I have friends who served here in the military in Navy SEALs and Delta Force and JSOC operations. But those who understand the pressure of war and conflict and restoration and being reintegrated back in the families, bringing and blending this together so we can go back to Ukraine and help people who need us. But we understand it's not easy. We need perseverance. We need endurance. We need faith. And this is why the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, it talks about faith. When we discover the will of God, it's not something simple, easy, that we can do on our own. It requires faith. What faith is? Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. This is what faith is. And with faith that is a gift of God, I see that we as a Church of Christ here in Houston, Texas, will be able to come alongside of those 112,000 people with amputations and 2 million of veterans and provide them something that no government, no social structure, not any other NGO can provide, but only the body of Christ, only the Church of Christ that can restore the brokenness. And I don't know where and how all the resources will come, all the expertise will come, all the human power will come, but with the faith of God, I see that Ukraine will become a global model to the world how to take care and restore those who have been wounded in the war situation. And the scripture gives me foundation for that. And it also comes from the experience of what happened 3 years ago. You already heard me sharing before that 3 years ago, when our ministry heard that Russia invaded Ukraine with the war, we realized we got to do something. Although we're a sports organization, we're not a humanitarian organization, we're not the organization that deals in different humanitarian crises, we knew exactly the will of God, what will please Him, what will make Him happy, is to get involved and help in whatever was needed. At that time, the need was to drive to the cities that have been under attack and rescue people out of there. Because only one family among 25 people have car. So 5 people get in the car, they meet fit another 5 people and drive away, but there is 15, 20 who don't have transportation. So all our coaches and volunteers mobilized themselves, and we were providing funds to fill the cars with the gas. Over 500 volunteer-driven cars were going back and forth 24/7, picking up people who had no access to transportation and moving them to the safe part of the country. In 3 months, over 411,000 have been rescued. And they were placed in 119 help centers to provide them a stay for 24 hours or 7 days until they realize that their home is gone and they need to move on. And that was a church who did this. And in one of those help centers, there was a wife of a state official from the Ministry of Sports. And she told the person about the work that has been done by sports people for civilian. And through this new relationship has been born that led to the work that has been done there for the last 3 years. And now it's a new chapter that opens the door, not to rescue, but to restore. And when I read this, all inside of me want to shrink back. A week before my flight to Ukraine, I was in torture. I was in pain. I didn't want to go anywhere because it is 48 hours trip, just one way. Flying 24 hours, then you drive in the car through all the places for 24 hours. So I was traveling 2 days one way, 5 days on the ground, 2 days back. Almost half of the time just to travel. All my flesh was saying, no, I don't want to go. I don't want to do that. I want to stay home. I'm a guy of routine and my personal schedule and all of that. I want to shrink back. But I understand that God will have no pleasure if I shrink back. If I know the will of God, I need to move forward with perseverance, confidence, and hope. And when I do this, it pleases the heart of the Father. Now, as every one of us today, we need to understand that the life in the promised land, it's not when all bills are paid. It's not when all savings accounts are full. It's not when we don't have medical or doctor appointments. The promised land, it's not a pleasure to live a comfortable life here in the United States. The promised land is to be in the presence of God, to understand what bothers the heart of my Father today and how I can please Him. That's why in the verse 22, He says, let us draw near. Let us draw near. As we draw near to the Father's heart, we know what He wants us to do. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Now, as I'm near to Him, I hold fast to my hope, to my faith, to my confidence that I want to do the will of God that will please Him. So what is the will of God for your life today? What does the Father want you to do to please Him? I always know what I want Him to do to please me. And I give Him a big list of things that will make me happy. But is this the faith that He wants me to live? Or He wants me to come with a clear paper and a pen and to say, Father, I'm here because of the blood of Jesus who gave me access to your throne. Not so I can bring my petitions on the food that I want to eat and the fun that I want to have, but so I can hear from your heart, what exactly you want me to do today. And then I write down, who do I need to call? Who do I need to visit? What should I say? What should I do? Where to give? Where to drive? And then the evening, to come back and say, I've done this. I attempt that. I was confused on this. If you give me more clarity, I would be glad to do this. I need extra help on this. I can't do this alone, but I'm not giving up. And ask the power of the Holy Spirit to help me to make that. This is the life of the promised land that He wants us to experience. That's the reason why Jesus sacrificed His life. This is what will please the heart of the Father. And today, as we listening to the worship music, as we follow the words, I want us to try to come near to the throne of God with this question. Father, what will make you happy? What are the desires of your heart? How can I please you? Give me your will as specific as possible so I can accomplish that. Let us reflect on that. Let us meditate on that. Let us ask for that. And if He tells us the first signal that you can understand that this is from God is when your flesh will rebel. If you want to know if this is from God, you will feel so much discomfort. I don't know how about you, but I love when everything is comfortable. But the things that of the Lord, they will make my flesh jump out of me. They will make me scream and say, no, 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 no. Anything but not that. But this is the first sign that you're in the right direction. And don't let your flesh to drift you away or force you to shrink back. But hold on to the faith that is a gift from God that you will be able to do. And for those of us who I still feel like you have an evil conscience and lawless deeds and sinful nature. Today is the hope. Jesus accomplished the will of God. He sacrificed his life. He shed his blood. He let his flesh to be crucified so you can have access into the promised land. Don't neglect that. Don't wait longer. Grab this opportunity. Ask for his forgiveness and enter into his presence. And you will never, never, never regret of this. Let me give a minute of silence as we try to hear the Holy Spirit today. What he wants us to do. And then I will pray. If today you see the need to come into the presence of God, if today you feel like Holy Spirit and the Scripture convince you in your sinfulness, there is a hope in the blood of Jesus. I invite you to pray with me as you ask for this special opportunity to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Simply say something like this: Lord Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your blood that cleans me from any sin. Today I want to come into your presence. Today I want to dwell in the promised land. Please forgive me my sins. Cleanse my evil conscience by your blood. Purify me with the truth. Adopt me into your family. And reveal me your heart so I can live for your will and not for my personal pleasure and comfort. And I will follow you for the rest of my days. Amen.